Our study this morning is out of the 27th Psalm, a lesson in confidence in God to dispel the fear of people. Proverbs 29:25 states, "The fear of man bringeth a snare, but whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be safe." Psalm 27 is an expansion of the truth of that verse in Proverbs 29:25, and since a number of people today greatly struggle with the fear of people in general, or a fear of specific folk, we view this psalm for its insight and its application. I'd like to look to the Lord in prayer, and we'll get into his word. Father, we thank you for the privilege of knowing you through Jesus Christ by faith in him, for the privilege of being indwelt by the Spirit of God who clarifies truth to us and who gives us the power to apply it, and also for the privilege to be able to gather together in a meeting like this, unaffected and unhindered by government entities. And so we ask, Father, for the wisdom to take advantage of this opportunity to use it for the glory of God. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Okay, I'd like to read the 27th Psalm in the King's English, the King James Version, and then we'll look at it from a direct application or a direct translation from the Hebrew text. Psalm 27, a psalm of David. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Incidentally, that first verse is part of a song, a famous song that has been sung. I don't know if you've heard it or not. Verse 2, when the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though an host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this I will be confident. One thing have I desired of the Lord, and that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. From the time of trouble he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me up upon a rock. And now shall my head be lifted up above my enemies round about me. Therefore will I offer in his tabernacle sacrifices of joy. I will sing, yea, I will sing praises unto the Lord. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice, have mercy also upon me, and answer me. When thou saidst, seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. Hide not thy face far from me, put not thy servant away in anger. Thou hast been my help, leave me not, neither forsake me, O God of my salvation. When my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. Teach me thy way, O Lord, and lead me in a plain path because of mine enemies. Deliver me not over unto the will of mine enemies, for false witnesses are risen up against me, and such as breathe out cruelty. I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord." Okay, we want to translate this from the Hebrew text. Part of the verse 1 in this psalm comprises the introductory notes of the English Bible, so we stay with the numbering system in the English Bible for clarity for this lesson. So we translate Psalm 27, 1 to 14 as follows. Yahweh is my light. The word light is a figure for life. If your lamp goes out, then your life goes out. So the Lord is my life. You can actually translate, the Lord is my light or my life, and my salvation. Of whom shall I fear? Yahweh is the refuge of my life. Whom shall I dread? When the evildoers approached me to eat up my flesh, and this is the figure of like a wild animal to eat up your flesh, my adversaries and my enemies, it was they, emphatic pronoun, who stumbled and fell. Though an armed host should encamp against me, and my heart shall not fear, though war should rise against me, in this, that would be the claim that he made back in verse 1 about Yahweh as his light and so forth, in this I will be confident. One thing have I asked of Yahweh, and that will I seek after, to dwell in the house of Yahweh all my life, to behold the pleasantness of Yahweh, and to inquire, that would be in prayer, in his temple. For he will hide me in his shelter in the day of calamity. In the hiding place of his tabernacle, he will hide me. Upon a rock cliff, he will set me on high. That would be unreachable to his foes. And now will my head be lifted up, that's a figure of safety and confidence, above my enemies round about me, and I will offer in his tabernacle sacrifices with shouts of joy. I will sing and I will make music to Yahweh. Hearken, O Yahweh, with my voice I will call, and have mercy on me and answer me. To you, O my heart, he, that's God, has said, seek ye my face. Thy face, O Yahweh, I will seek. Seeking is a reference to looking towards in worship. Do not hide your face from me. Hiding the face is a reference to Numbers 6, 24 to 26. Remember the benediction of the high priest? The Lord bless you, keep you. The Lord causes countenance to look upon you. When you have a superior in the presence of a king and he chooses to look at you, that's a sign of acceptance. And that's a sign where you can finally relax. If he doesn't bother looking at you, you're in trouble. So cause your face, do not hide your face from me, and that would be a lack of favor. Turn not your servant away in anger. You have been my help. Do not reject me and do not forsake me, O God of my salvation. For my father and my mother, that's a figure of closest relatives, have forsaken me. But Yahweh will, and here's an interesting verb, asap, gather me to the company of others, or herd, or care for. It can mean any one of those, and I believe it probably means all of those. The word gather is also used euphemistically of death. He was gathered to his people. That's when they wrap the body up and they take the body and they carry it off to the burial ground of the fathers, and they put the person there with his people. So it's a very gentle figure, and yet it's a figure of making you, God is replacing you with a company of others. Once you've lost, people have forsaken you, he's gathering you to the company of others, or he's herding, or he's caring for as you would an animal. Teach me your way, O Yahweh, and lead me in a level path because of my sinister watchers. And these are foes who watch to find fault with or to destroy David. Do not give me over to the will of my foes, or for false witnesses and he who puffs out wrongful violence are written up against me, or risen up against me. If I had not believed to look upon the wholesome goodness of Yahweh and the land of the living, and at this point the sentence ends, because it's what is known as an apotheosis. It's a sudden breaking off of the sentence, conveying here the result of an unthinkably awful event that is appropriately not stated. We do this. Let's say if your car stalls on the railroad track and you can't get it going, the train's coming, so a truck comes behind you and gently pushes you off and gets off just in time for the train to go off. Then you get out of your car and you turn around to the truck driver and said, man, if you hadn't been there, you cut the sentence off. What you mean is, if you hadn't been there, I would have been toast. So this is a very powerful figure of speech. And so David is saying this: if I had not believed to look upon the wholesome goodness of Yahweh in the land of the living, essentially I would have been toast. It's very interesting. He breaks it off. So he says, verse 14, wait on Yahweh. Be strong and let your heart exhibit stout assurance in his deliverance in the matter, and wait on Yahweh. Very interesting. David supplied some important truths towards dealing with a fear of people as follows. First of all, when one makes the Lord his refuge in every way, he need not fear any single party or even a host of parties who are even gathered against him to wage conflict against him for his demise. This may be a good psalm to apply for people who suddenly are afraid of terrorists or terrorism. After 9/11, we had a fellow who was a member of our church, and he moved out to Wyoming because he wanted to escape terrorist activity. And we tried to warn him, no, that doesn't work. You know, terrorists can go out to Wyoming too, but they can go anywhere. But you really need to trust the Lord. But it's interesting, you don't have to fear any single party or a host of parties, even if they're already gathered against you to wage conflict against you for your fall. No problem. Just trust the Lord. One with the Lord is a majority. We've heard that statement a number of times, and in a very real sense, it is true. Then even if one's most reliable human associates abandon him, in verse 10a, though my father and my mother, we don't believe that David's father and mother actually had forsaken him, but this often would be used. You could pick someone like a father and a mother for another very close associate, someone that you would normally depend upon. So even one's most reliable human associates abandon him, the believer can count on God to take whatever steps are needed to help him in his shock of being forsaken and to care for his welfare. It's interesting that the last part of verse 10, Yahweh will gather me to the company of others, or herd, or care for me. Whatever is necessary to handle the shock of being abandoned by close associates and to counter that or neutralize that influence, God will do. A lot of times when a person has been abandoned by someone who's really close to them, they go through shock. It's understandable. Well, God deals with the shock, and he gathers up, and he collects, and he helps. Number three, however, one must fight the urge to be impatient by faithfully looking to God in prayer. That's what verses A and B are, and hope that he will act in time. You'll see the word seek appears a number of times in verse 8, and then later in verses 13 and 14, confidently trusting that God will certainly help. People who have a tendency to be afraid of others have this tendency, the fear keeps coming back. The fear is always something that they struggle with. I know some people who have a fear of people. In fact, they have difficulty, and they're part of our church. They have difficulty even coming to the church service because when there's a lot of people around, it makes them feel extremely nervous. If we have a small service or if you're just talking with them one-on-one, they seem to be relaxed. But you get them in a crowd of people because of things they've been through in their lives, they freak out. And it's a real, real problem. So the solution for people like that is constantly to be in prayer, constantly to look to the Lord, constantly to trust the Lord, because it's an ongoing battle with him. And that's what David is saying here. You faithfully have to keep looking to God in prayer and hope that he will act in time. And you confidently have to trust that God will certainly help you. So to handle his fear of people, David viewed God as his refuge, enabling him to handle any and all foes with their worst assaults, even abandonment by close associates, with God's care and supply of new associates. Yet he testified that to gain this victory, one must always prayerfully trust God and confidently wait for his help. So may we handle a fear of people by making God our all-sufficient refuge, like David did. Now before I open it up to you, I've got to go back. In verse 4, yes, a number of years ago, this is during the Vietnam conflict, I was a youth pastor in a church in Port Angeles, Washington. Port Angeles, Washington is out by the Puget Sound in Seattle. It's west of Seattle. There's a peninsula out there, the Olympic Peninsula. They have beautiful mountains there. And Port Angeles is a town that's a coastal town right on the north side of that peninsula. At the time, I was staying in various homes, and one of the homes I stayed in was the homes of the Laux family, I never forget. At that time, they had a son who was a Green Beret. He was in Vietnam. His responsibility was to parachute behind enemy lines where the Viet Cong were and to map out where the Viet Cong were. He would do this at night. Then he was responsible to sneak back over the lines, over to the GIs, so he could point out to the other GIs where the enemy were so they could go in. And he did this as a regular way of life. And he specialized in medicine. Each Green Beret has to specialize in some area. He was a specialist. He could actually perform an emergency appendectomy in the field. Let's say there was a soldier who suddenly came down with an appendix attack out in the open field. He knew how to, I don't know if he anesthetized him or not, but he could actually perform the surgery to remove the appendix right there and take care of it, suture up everything. He was top flight in this area. When I was in the home, he was wounded in action. And he wrote home to his parents, said, it was just a scratch, but he was hospitalized. Now, nobody's hospitalized with a scratch, but he didn't want his parents, especially his mother, to worry about it. Well, during this time, when I was in the home, we would have the morning devotions, and Mrs. Laux would constantly read verse 4. One thing have I asked of Yahweh, that will I seek after, to dwell in the house of Yahweh all the days of my life, to behold the pleasantness of Yahweh and to inquire in his temple. And you'll notice the content. The content is David with his enemies, though a host rises up against him and so forth. She was a very godly woman. Her parents and her husband's parents were godly as well. Her husband was a police officer, and he had almost been killed in action there in Port Angeles, Washington. He was recovering from it. And here she had a son who was over in Vietnam, and I was staying in this home. It's just an incredible experience, and the tension that was there, it was really something. But this psalm was a tremendous blessing, and this family clung to this psalm all during that process. And thankfully, their son came through the Vietnam War, he came home, and was able to set up shop. Mr. and Mrs. Laux are now with the Lord. They went home to be with the Lord a number of years ago. And I think the church there had its 50th anniversary, I think, last year or something. And they brought news and reminded me of the days when I was there as a youth pastor. The head pastor was a graduate of Dallas Seminary at the time, and I was just a youth pastor. I was still going to Multnomah School of the Bible. But I'll never forget this psalm and that passage because of the tremendous testimony that it was in that particular home. Okay, we'll open it up for questions or feedback that you have. It could be on this particular psalm. It does not have to be. If there's something else that comes up or has come up.